Rechon Elsa's? No? What are you talking about? So I asked, is it the same cabin? Does anyone have one of those? Where you can stick the bread on top and it's also not enough. So I asked if it's the same box, if it the bread goes in. He said, yeah, you look through the glass. When the bread is in, you see the bread like hanging down in the, you know, it's in the same cavity. I said, and you can actually you can use both parts at the same time, like milchig things and bread at the same time. I said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. It's not going to be such a problem. Okay, anyway, so we are up to this Ramah. Ramah, it's a long Ramah, and he's got a lot to say, a lot of very important things to say over here. In Simon Kovcha Si'if Aleph. So just to recap, the Shulchan Aruch had said that you're not supposed to roast Pasuk Sheva with Pasuk Neveila or Behemoth Tmei in the same oven, even though they're not touching each other because there is a problem of Recha, but that's only Lechatchila, but the oven is going to be Mutter. And then we said, and if it's a really big oven, it's Machsin, Yud Beis Esronim, and Spir Pasuach, then you don't have to worry about Recha. So we spent a little bit of time discussing whether our ovens are really big ovens that are Machsin Yud Beis Esronim. So he said, if you measure based on the cubic feet of the oven, it seems that our ovens are really big. If you measure by the floor of the oven, it seems that our ovens are not really big. I came across a third possibility after I finished my answer before Rav Shechter at Mincha the other day. The Olal Yaakov quotes from Plesi, where the Plesi says it's not dependent on the cubic footage of the oven, nor is it dependent on the floor of the oven. It's dependent on can you bake a stronger of bread, of flour that goes into bread in that oven. Now, keep in mind, Isaron is the Shir Chala, right? Shir Chala is what, like 3 pounds of flour? So 12 times that is like, would it be shy to bake that amount in an oven and our ovens at the same time, even if you use both shelves and you're packing both shelves? Probably not. So probably our ovens would still be small, even though the cubic feet of it would be large. But probably our ovens are considered small. That's probably why we're machmir about reyach in our ovens. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah tells us a number of pratim over here. First of all, says Ramah, who had the buffer and call him nami dina hachi will be the able to. He says the halacha is the same when it comes to basar chalav, and this idea that we're matnil lechachila, we're making the other, is regardless of the size of the oven. Meaning he's not thrilled about being mechalik between the size of the oven. That's statement number one. Statement number two: v'im afa pas in basar, if you bake bread with meat, asr la'achla umchalav. You're not allowed to eat that bread with chalav. Where did he get that from? That's a Gemara, right? The Gemara said that. That Gemara caused us fits, because that Gemara seems to say that Recha Milsa, that you have a real problem of Reya. And we paskin Recha Lav Milsa. So remember, there were three approaches. One approach is, yeah, we don't paskin like that Gemara because we paskin Recha Lav Milsa. Another approach was, we paskin Recha Milsa, and therefore that Gemara is a Raya to Recha Milsa. And the third approach was the Rif, because the Rif paskins Recha Lav Milsa, but yet he still paskins that Gemara. So we have two ways of understanding the Rif, whether it's a Lechatchila B'diyevet situation, or it's based on Bittul or something like that. So anyway, so that's the Gemara. The Gemara says you're not allowed to eat it with bread that was baked with one type, is not allowed to be eaten with the other type. Im yesh lo pas acher, if there is other bread that you can have, because that's the definition of lechatchila. Lechatchila is assuming that there's no more bread. Lechatchila would mean that there's other bread, so why would you use this with the other min if there's bread that you can use, if there's other bread you can use with the other min? And if there's not, then we would consider this a b'diavad situation, and Recha Lav Milsa b'diavad. V'chein mo'n cham ha'pas in iser, also liknos also pas in yesh pas acher. Same shuv with guy baked bread together with this or the other, you have to worry about Recha. Someone asked me, what was the shayla? Oh, I was asked by a principal of a yeshiva high school, a Mon Orthodox Yeshiva High School. He said that there's a young lady in the school that really wants to keep kosher, and the parents don't keep kosher, and they're putting extraordinary pressure on her. Meaning in the house they keep kosher, but they eat out. You know, this I don't know how popular this is, but this used to be a thing in very modern communities, that people eat out. Yeah, you know all about it? Okay, after, yeah? This is this is not from the Hampton Bus action. But it used to be on Rockwood Turnpike, and I found Sherwood Diner was a non-kosher restaurant, and it was all families of a particular minor Orthodox school. In the fact that like, always, it was that was when I was growing up. If you like, you know, everyone, you know, if you went to a certain shul and a certain school, you ate at Sherwood Diner. That was it. You were from. You only had salads and salmon and things like that. You know, you were one of my chaverim, a very close friend of mine, told me the frumest moments he had in high school was when he looked at the menu at Sherwood Diner and ordered salmon. He said, like, I was like, that was the frumest thing I did. I was like looking at him like, salmon. You know, it was a dumb rechasha for him. So that used to be a thing. I don't think it's such a thing anymore. But this principal of the school said that there's this young lady that her family goes out to celebrate a birthday or Mother's Day or Father, whatever, and they go out to a draper restaurant. And so what should she do? She can't get out of it. She can't get in. She's a ninth grader. She can't, like, say, I'm moving out. No, you're not. You're ninth grade. You can't take care of yourself. Right, so what should she do? So is it an eitzah to tell her, eat bread? You know, you eat the bread at the restaurant. I think a minute ago, Olam now, even the Mangayim, is not to put lard in the bread anymore. They used to put lard in the bread. That used to be a bit chashash with paspalter, was that if you didn't have hashkacha, they were putting chazer schmaltz in the bread. I'm totally right. That's Rabbi Reisman's father's story. You know that story? It's an amazing story. Rabbi Reisman's father was a Holocaust survivor, and he was trying to get over to America, and he couldn't afford a trip to America. How's he going to get to America? So there was a U.S. Navy ship that was looking for an assistant baker to go on the ship to help the baker out. So he said, I'll be an assistant baker. And they said, you know how to bake? He said, I'm a quick learner. Never really knew how to bake anything in his life. But he said, I'm a quick learner. And he figured the 3 weeks on the ship that it takes to get to America, I'll be able to eat fruits and bread. I'll at least be able to eat bread. It took a few hours on the ship to realize it's only going to be fruits. Because the bread, they put lard in all the bread. I mean, he said, it's a good thing I was the baker and not like the handyman, because I got to see what, otherwise I would have eaten the bread, because I was a baker, I was an assistant baker, I got to see what was done in the kitchen. Why is it such a great story? Not just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matzing him from Achalos Hasidus, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him a parnasa on that boat over from Europe, where Reisman's father ended up coming up with an amazing recipe for brownie balls. And he started a bakery, Reisman's Bakery, which then became that provided parnassa for, probably still provides parnassa for parts of the family. I don't know, maybe they sold it, I'm not sure. But, that's how he got his parnassa for the whole rest of his life. It's because he learned how to bake when he was on a ship over from Europe. Yad Hashem, unbelievable. So why do I mention that? Oh yeah, so should you tell the girl, maybe just eat the bread. So I thought if she's going to have to eat something, so probably, a can of Coke is a, you can't go wrong with that. And maybe if she has to eat, maybe the bread is not a bad idea. The principal said, we're not raised in the oven. So raised in the oven would be a problem. My impression is most restaurants do not bake bread on premises. Most restaurants will probably order from a bakery. I would imagine they're not baking bread on premises. And people who take baking bread seriously don't bake it in the same oven with other, meaning like a bakery that takes itself seriously as a bakery is probably not baking in the same oven with other things. Bread is bread, so you got to bake it as it is. That's what I would assume. Not that you should do this, right? You're not supposed to eat bread, not kosher bread, anyway.
What would be, this is obviously like a much broader question, but what's like the general mahalak of these things? Probably, even if it was baking, even if they did bake
it,
that's a better idea for her to eat the bread
and
maybe eat salad that has insects in
it,
or definitely to eat the trade meat. Like, it's probably
her best option. It's her best option. That's what we're trying to come up with, the best option. I told the principal, your best option is to call in the parents and say, you are paying $25,000 a year in tuition. You're undermining all of it. Meaning, like, just There are plenty of good kosher restaurants. Just have a talk with them, and then say, kind of tell them that for your own daughter's mental health, she's being taught something in the school. You don't like the school, that's fine, but she's being taught something in the school. The anxiety that you're causing her by having to deal with this is just, you end up paying so much more in therapy bills later because of the anxiety that you're causing her. So he said that he was going to call in the parents and speak to them. I don't know whatever happened.
I don't know, maybe
not. Then you rely a little on us in the other. Meaning, considering the circumstances. I told the guy the story with Roshatul, that it's his white kid who's living in his parents' home, and he had only non-kosher food, where the kid asked if he should wash every meal. He had no choice, he had to eat other foods also. But at least he won't have to make a bracha on tray for food. So he washed every meal, so he would only have to make a bracha on bread. So that was a very special young man. Anyway, so, yeah. Oh, you raised do I look left, wrong, right? Maybe that's a thing, okay.
We didn't create this on
your show. Oh, we didn't get to say it yet, so we'll get to say it.
Well, my son can't even get it, I'm not sure.
Well, we'll get to Zayah. We'll get to Zayah. We'll see how serious a concern Zayah is. I don't think he's concerned with it, but we'll get to what I said. Okay, so the Rama writes that off a pass, in Basar Aslach and Cholov, if you have other bread, and with the Nachri, bake the bread together with tray for things. If you don't have any other pass, so then it's Mutter, because that's called the Eved, Zayah Mikri, then you have the Eved. So, good. He just expands the definition of lechachila, that the bread should be considered flesh, if baked with meat, unless you can't find any other bread to eat with your cheese, and that's clearly based on that raisa, which he accepts halacha, because he's just changing the definition of lechachila. Then the Rama says a third item. Yeshomu, the ein matirin recha afilu b'diaved, ele in kein hataru pasuach ktsas min atzaru l'mayla, b'makum shoshu yonsen. Whoa, so the Rama says, if you have an oven that has no ventilation whatsoever, then we should be machmir reyach even to the oven, unless it's a makum hefsid. It's a makum hefsid, it could be made into the oven, but if there's no ventilation in the oven, then it should be machmir to the oven on reyach. The Mechaber said an opening allows it even the chakiva. The Rama says you need the opening even to be made into the oven. The basis of that Qumran of the Ramah is that he equates a closed oven with bread on top of a wine barrel, right, where it's all fully contained and there's no escape anywhere else, and therefore the bread becomes straight when it's hot bread on top of a wine barrel. That's the kind of recha. That's bad recha. We assume recha milsa in such a case. So that's what the Ramah is machmir. Have you ever heard of an oven with no ventilation where everything stays inside? So a microwave oven doesn't have ventilation, typically, as far as I understand. So if a microwave oven doesn't have ventilation, maybe recha becomes a much bigger problem in a microwave than it would in a regular oven. We'll talk more about microwaves as we go on, but just to file that away, that if there's no ventilation, the Rama thinks you have to knock about reach, even with the oven, unless it's a hefsid. Then the Rama says, a fourth statement, v'mi isu davar charif, v'kosh gein mehet davar charif, recha milsi, he says that if it's davar charif, then recha is milsa even b'diavad. So again, when are we going to say recha milsa b'diavad? In a completely closed space, or if one of the items is a davar charif. Many poskim disagree with this Rama. Davar charif is going to change the impact of recha. Yerachah Shulchan says, nah, but the Gemara questions Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa, and it brings Rayas back and forth. The Gemara never thinks to answer at any point, Hachamei Eskinu Davar Charev, and by Davar Charev we're going to pass in Recha Milsa, it's only by Davar Shein Charev. The Gemara, such a chilek has to appear in the Gemara for such a chilek to be true. And therefore the Yerachah Shulchan says that this is not correct. And then the Rama writes, statement number 5, im afu tzaluk israel v'tachas machvas achas megulin osur afilu b'diavad, that if you have uncovered meat and uncovered dairy under the same pan, and they're both baking underneath the same pan, it's osur b'diavad, Hu adin im aflu be chiyagav na pas im basar asu la aflu be chalav al mizakrasa in lachish. You put a pot over both simultaneously or machmir. If you make one after the other, in lachish, you don't have to worry about it. One after the other is mutter, but you know probably most people in the kitchens would be careful about this. This was the case where Rabbi Reisman said, "It's Efshar Lahakel Shalom B'Tnei Ishta." There's no Zaya because we're talking about bread over here, and bread doesn't produce any Zaya, so that's for sure. So you don't have to worry about Zaya. So this is where the Shach asks that kasha that we had before. What about Fleshka bread? Should we be trained anyway? So he said, it's a hacker. Go back to the Simon Zenibab and you learn how to make kosher Fleshka bread just a moment. The Gilead Rasha points out on the page over here. This is so pleasant. No one's going to fall asleep. The Gilead Rasha points out that Aval Imdad Rasha, the Ingo Mishum Sakal, that you don't have to worry about baking together with a fish to meet the meat with the fish. It's not a violation of Sakana, even though normally meat and fish together is Sakana. And he says, but Ayin in Reish Nazayin, that Yesh Osim L'Chachila, Yesh Ap B'Diyavah. So basically there are three shittos whether we're concerned with Reicha when it comes to fish and meat. This shaila also comes up all the time. Because obviously, you don't get too many shaylas about people cooking nevela in their kitchen. Most people don't want it, you know, don't bring nevela into their homes, most Orthodox Jews. But they do have fish and they do have meat, and oftentimes they're preparing both of them for the same basic meal, or for the same yantif, or for the same basic time frame. So there are three days, mutter l'chachila, mutter b'diyavet, or even asr b'diyavet. Now, b'zeh achar zeh in the same oven, that's clearly going to be mutter. So if you look at Sif Seidas, in Sif Katan Yud Ches, has an Arnichus, and in Os Ches over there, he says that when baking in an oven, you have to worry that fats of the meat are going to flow onto the floor of the oven, but with fish and meat in the oven, even if the meat is absorbed in the floor of the oven, the fish are mutter as long as the gravy of the meat is not actually streaming underneath the fish. Meaning that not only, Prima Gavin says, not only are we not concerned about recha of fish and meat in the oven, I'm not even concerned about blios of fish and meat, and that's an important point. That's why you don't need separate kalim for fish. And you can cook, it is a minute that everybody's mother has a fish pot that she makes gefilte fish in, and she doesn't use it for anything else. But that's a bubba minhag. You know, it's not a minhag that's required because there's no issue of plios when it comes to fish and meat. Okay, so these are the five issues of recha that the Ramah adds. Right. So now we move on to Zaya. Is that the Ramah? Oh yeah, you had a question.
I was wondering why did Shach only mention that.
Why is he only mentioned over here, not earlier?
I mean, earlier,
it's a good question. I don't know. Meaning, it came up already that we were talking about the flesh of bread. I don't know. Now, then Ramah introduces a final chumrah. Ramah, someone had a question? A couple questions? Yeah? See, I was looking right. The assumption is that every meal needs bread. That it's a meal without bread is not a meal at all. So if you want to eat a milchik meal, the only bread you have is the bread that was baked with the flesh. You don't have other bread readily available.
And
that's
the bread also with
other products. That's the bread. That would be called a bidyeh. Bread is something that you need. I wonder if nowadays we would change that. I mean, how many of these assumptions are based on culture, right? So maybe that would not be considered to be evident. I just saw this morning, we're learning in Daf Yomi, we just started Ilum Mitzias today. So it's like, you know, throwback to fifth grade. Hopefully we understand it a little better than I did in fifth grade. But the Gemara says that the reason why in the Yeshua Midasuga, the reason why money is not an example of Yeshua Midas, because everyone realizes the second name is money, because they're always Mimashmish Mekisa, they're always checking their pockets for how much money they have. So forget about nowadays. Where nowadays, it's like no one has any money. I mean, no one has any cash. It's like someone comes over and says, yeah, I've changed over 20. It's like, I'll Venmo you. Like, you know, like what do you need? You know, like, it doesn't... But even in the days, you know, I remember as you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you go over to someone, you say, do you have change over 20? The answer was always, let me check. What do you mean, let me check? Mushroom Shakisa, we call Shah. You're always checking exactly how much money you have. Chazal said, Abikairis, what do you mean you have to check? Right? So Chazanish says, like that, Chazanish says, this is a Chazak of Chazal, the other person, Mushroom Shakisa, we call Shah. The Chazak doesn't change, and therefore money is always considered not to be a Shlomi Das. It's a Pella, no? I think other Muslims have said not that way because. So I would think that something like this also, that it's called such a big deal. How many times do you wash from Shabbos to Shabbos? How many times do you wash in between Shabbos? Not Thailand. How many? In between Shabbos and Shabbos. How many times? It's like beginning of Shabbos, middle of Shabbos. How many times do you wash? You don't need bread with every meal. Let me say that.
But
the cash is the same cash over there also. Meaning Dafka wants to say it in a place where we're going to treat it even to the other, you know. Okay, good.
Why would the Shach pass through like Tosfos?
Well, no, because it's going. He's not passing. He's going on the Ramah. Because the Ramah came up with all these examples where we're going to be machmir even with the other. When it's a Tamar Sasul, and when it's a Dabar Karu, right? Things like that. So that's the Ramah. Meaning, the Ramah is Moda, that the Evan is Mutter, except for when it's not. Except for the examples where we're going to be met for him with the Evan.
Are also fish and meat the same for as every other Eichon? Don't do it. Like, do you love the idea of work?
There's a lot more room to be making on fish and meat. A lot more room to be making. But?
Even both in Chorot.
The Chorot, there's a lot more room to be making. If you don't have to worry about Zayah. But Zayah could be a problem. So, okay, so now, the Ramah then introduces us to Zayah. And he writes, Elim kin hizia hamachnas yishneihem da'az asra afilu bazeh achazeh meyushem igun da'bikikisu shalkadeva. He says if you have zeyah that comes up from the food and they're both cooking open under the same pot, even if it's zeh achazeh, even if it's one food followed by the other, then you have to worry about the zeyah. The principle of zeyah is that the steam is no sintam. So if I have a milchik pot hanging right above a steaming pot of chicken soup, I have a problem, right? Meaning that the pot of chicken soup will become, maybe the melted pot will become trade from the steaming pot of chicken soup. Because that steam, and he says it's like a kisra kadeva. When you put a kisra in a kadeva, the steam that comes up, it's keeping the whole thing is filled with liquid. Now, it's true of a bubbling liquid, right? The concept of zayin, that there's steam, that's definitely true when you have a bubbling liquid, and it's definitely not true of bread. Right, a dry food, like challah, definitely doesn't have zeh. The question is, where do you draw the line in between? And this is very nogei l'maisa. Because recha is never an issue if you use an oven, one after the other. And when a woman is baking, or a man is cooking for Shavuos, and he's got to make the cheesecake, and they also got to make the meat for the meals, and especially because the husband said, no, you know what your mother and your brother did, that they always had a milchik meal? You can't have milchik meals, you got to have a fleshy meal. You got to make me a cheesecake for a milchik kiddush, and then we're going to have a fleshy meal. So I say, you drive me crazy, how am I going to do all this? Right, so can you use at least bezach or zeh, the same oven on the same day? She's got one day to cook because Shavuos happens to fall out and whatever. So how is she going to manage all that? So the best thing to do is recha is not an issue of using one after the other, but do I have to worry about zeya? Because one after the other could still be a problem of zeya. That's prepared from the Ramah. That one after the other is a problem of zeya. So the question is though, what's called a something that's moist enough to be mazia, to create a sense of zeh. So Rav Moshe points out that from the Shulchan Aruch it sounds like regular meat does not create zeh, because the entire siman is about basar. And then the Rambam says, Yeah, this is all true, unless it's like one of these weird meats that creates Zaya. Meaning that everything I said until now is true. It's all la halacha. We've been talking about meat, unless it's a case of Zaya. So it sounds like minastam, regular foods, regular meat, you don't have to assume has Zaya. Maybe it's very saucy meat, so then you'd have to assume that there's Zaya. When it comes to ovens, Rabbi Reisman quoted from Rapam, that Rapam is chloshish b'zeh with everything except for baked goods. Unless you're baking cookies or baking challah, it's chloshish everything else creates zeh. Many poskim said that chicken is dry, and chicken is not mazia, but again, it depends how much sauce, right? If it's a sauce of chicken, then it would be a bigger problem, because it's sauce itself. Rav Moshe writes in Yerodeyach and the Galim Sinu Mem, Abu Misupakni, chloshim b'stam alazeh. He said, I'm not sure if we're choshish min astam that foods have zeh. The Loshner, I'm also going to call Chesed Baal Shekos B'zeh HaZeh Lofush, Elin Kain, he's the Amachnas Mishneem, Da'az Asafil B'zeh HaZeh, Imar Shneem Mugulin, he calls Loshner Ramah, Mashma de Bistama, Ein Lofush B'zeh, Elin Kain, Yodua Dizia Mishneem. Right, Loshner Ramah certainly sounds like most things, you don't have to worry about zeh. Aval Efshar, Dibetanurim elu shestumim begad b'kosalim vaday mezia. Oh, so then Rav Moshe says, yeah, but maybe that was only true with old ovens that had much more ventilation or much more open, and therefore the zeya steam is likely to escape and not be trapped in the oven. But our ovens that are not so well ventilated and are not really open, so maybe you have to be choshesh for more zeya. You should cover everything in an oven. Why didn't Moshe just say get two ovens? That was not thinkable, right? But b'di'eved, since it's a whole thing's a suffix, whether we can be sumich on the Ramah that most things do not create zeya, or whether my chiddush is correct that a small oven space does create zeya, so b'di'eved, if they wait in me'eis le'eis, that b'li'o nosintam l'kam, whenever b'li'o went in from the zeya, by that time it's nosintam l'kam anyway, so then you could be meikil if it went 24 hours without an uncovered food of the other min. I shouldn't be concerned. Some of the steam went up to the top of the oven. You took the food out. The steam was still actually there. There was mamushes there. Next time you put food in, the steam is going to go up from the food you put in then, and it's going to combine with the steam over there. It's going to drip back into the food, and that's going to be mamushes that drips back into the food. It's not only blia, it's not just losing down the gum. You have mamushes. So yeah, but then you have bit of the shishim. If you have a stab real, so the kimish from Suffolk, you can spec sveka, shemelo, hayazea klal, bafim, hayazea, shemel, nafu raktipos, shika shishim nagdam kamistaber. He says, most mistaber, that that's what would happen, that would be whatever blios in there, no sakala. Most mistaber is that, or at least 50-50, whether there's zaya to begin with. And even if you're going to be machmir like me, that there is zaya, so as far as the blios are concerned, if you wait 24 hours, also come with gum. As far as the drops that fall back into the food, most mistaver that they'll be batel b'shishim. But essentially, Rav Moshe sounds like he's trying to be meikil by saying, yeah, wait 24 hours and don't worry about the tibet. But it's an enormous chumrah. It's an enormous chumrah because he's telling you that stam foods that in our ovens you do have to worry about zaya. Yeah, there are many posts that follow Rav Moshe and say you got to choose one gender for your oven, meaning that your oven's going to have to be male or not male, female, male-aggravation, and you're going to have to choose which one of those things you're going to cover, and the other one, which one of those things you'll bake uncovered, and the other one you always have to cover. L'chatila. He's only making the b'di'eved after 24 hours. He's not making l'chatila after 24 hours. Badei Shulchan quotes Rav Moshe, and he questions where his raya is really from. Obviously, if you cover one type, then there's no problem, right? Even according to Moshe. If you cook zeh achar zeh and cover one, right, cover one of them, then there's no problem, even according to Moshe. People always ask, wait, cover just what? With a single piece of foil, don't you need to double wrap it? So, as we pointed out before, No, you don't need to double wrap it. Double wrapping is just in case you put down pizza on chicken grease or something. So then you want to make sure that whatever the chicken grease goes into the bottom wrapping doesn't get into the second wrapping. When it comes to flesh exeya, Rabbi Reisman said he asked Rabbi Yashiv about it, whether he has to wait 6 hours after eating something that was mezia with flesh. So Rabbi Yashiv said you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait 6 hours, meaning I just got the shiloh the other night. Someone told me they warmed up Shabbos leftovers. They mentioned this. They warmed up Shabbos leftovers, so there was rice being warmed up together at the same time as meat that was uncovered in the oven. So if they ate the rice, can they eat milchiks afterwards? So the answer is yes. Can they eat milchiks together with the rice? If we're choshish, then it's mazia, and or we're choshish for recha, then you have a problem. So are we, let's take one at a time. Are we choshish for recha in such a case? You have rice cooking in the oven at the same time as meat cooking in that oven uncovered? Yeah, so l'chachila, we're choshish for recha. I mean, you don't have to have the rice together with the building meal. So l'chachila, we're choshish for recha. Are we choshish for zeya in that case? Probably not.
Assume that
they
at the top of the oven and then sit there
for 24
hours, that even after
24
hours, it's still mamashus.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times in the oven, if you put your hand on like the bottom that you can feel, mamashus, there is, so there could be mamashus that's still there. It's not all
that. Yeah, they is just steam. That's probably like actual
problem. Yeah, but the steam dries eventually, so it can remain there stuck on as mamashus. I mean, that's the assumption. It doesn't all just drip back down if it's just a small amount. Then the Rambam writes, Yeshomrin, the Kalmakam Darin Reichel Nosav Osmi Diemerai Nidafu Galech Hashishim and Ahetam Megan Yisr. How can Tikka Shishim and Ahetam Abiyu Bekal Mashim Tan and Mevat Al Yisr and Tzalakat Al Yishim and Okein? That you can always rely on Shishim when it comes to Reichel. Even when we are Choshim for Reichel, if everything else in the oven is Shishim, can I get the item that's producing the Reichel, then you can be made. And then the Rambam goes on, Yeshomrin, the Yisr, also be Mashabu, the Isra also b'mashavu kigon chametz b'pesach reicha milsa va'osar afilu b'diavet imatan or katan v'usasu b'isra v'etam v'bulim tol katanu. And if you have uncovered chametz and uncovered non-chametz in the same oven, it will asar afilu b'diavet if it's a small oven, a small closed oven. The assumption, now wait a second, Ramah said by all Isurim, if it's a small closed oven, you should be machmir. And he said, yeah, but you should be, but the machmir said you could be maker. Now he's saying a small closed oven is going to aser when you're dealing with something that's aser b'mashim. What did he say? B'Yisrael has a mulun toch hatanu. And some say that you shouldn't be mechalek, says the Shach. Sivkat Tezbav, Mashvid La Mordechai, Inchilik Be Yisrael Mashvid La Shari Surim, Kim Mashvid La Shari Moshe, that we don't distinguish between Tzayna Asus B'mashu and Shari Surim. So what's the Ramah doing over here? Why is he Machmir? Why does he quote this Deya that's Machmir? The assumption in saying the Chametz B'Pesach is a bigger problem is that the notion of Reit Halav Milsa relies on Bittah. I remember when we discussed, we said, wait a second, how could you on the one hand paskin rechalav milsa, and then on the other hand also paskin that if you bake bread with fleshing, then you're not allowed to eat that bread with milking, that implies rechal milsa, and we quote that. So we said, no, maybe rechalav milsa is true, but it only works through the mechanism of bittul. And that's why, if it's a dark shisha matirin, like fleshin, which will become moti, you just don't eat it together with milk, because then it's fine, so then there's not going to be bittul. And therefore you're going to have to be choshish. So with the bread that was baked together with the fleshin, you can't eat with the milk, because that's a dark shisha matirin. Where else do we have something that cannot become batel? Chametz b'pesach, zasr mashu, cannot become batel. Gula, so Pesach cannot become Batel, and Rechalav Milsa is hinges on Bittel, you cannot rely on Rechalav Milsa for Chametz B'Pesach. The Rama quotes the Mordechai disagrees and says, yeah, you can be Mekel. Why? Why can't you be Mekel? Because Rechalav Milsa is not about Bittel. Rechalav Milsa is just a Dimidiyabah that Rechalav Milsa. The Shach points out that the Dark Emotion implies that Mordechai holds that the basis for Rechalav Milsa has nothing to do with Bittel, and that's why you can apply to Chametz as well. However, the Shach himself disagrees. He says, no, the real basis for the Mordechai is that there is no Recha on bread. So Chametz bread is never going to transfer Reya to Matzah. Whoa. So why is it that I can be Megil on the Reya of Chametz that's baked in the same oven as Kashrut Pesach food? Two possibilities. Either because I hold that Recha La Milsa has nothing to do with Bittel, so I don't have to worry about things that cannot become Bittel. It's not about Bittel, it's just not a problem. Or because bread doesn't produce Recha. Bread is not going to produce, I know anytime you've walked into a bakery, your nose has told you otherwise, okay? But bread is not going to produce the Recha that's halachically problematic. Nafkamina, what if you have other types of chametz other than bread that are baking together in an oven and kosher Pesach foods in the same oven? Right? L'chora, if you hold that you're relying on that Recha Milsa, Recha La Milsa relies on Bittel, can't be Mamatel, Nashul Chametz. But if you hold that it's all because of bread, I'm sorry, if you hold that it's because it just simply doesn't rely on Bittel at all, and she said, but the evidence is not a problem. So here also, but the evidence is not a problem. But if you hold that it does rely on Bittel, and it's just that bread isn't going to produce Reach, okay, but other things that do produce Reach, you're not going to be able to have the Bittel that you need, and therefore it's going to be a problem. It's not really such enough, Kamina, because whenever these shilas would come up, it would only come up if a woman is baking or cooking in preparation for Pesach. Right? Meaning, let's say this year, the first Seder night is, what is it, Sunday night? Monday night?
Monday
night, right? So, so the husband, and the kid, no, not the husband. The husband says, honey, do whatever you want. The kids say, ugh, we're going to have to eat Pesach food on Shabbos already? And she's going to be a good mommy. She's going to make non-kosher Pesach food for Shabbos. She's going to be so kind to them that as her whole kitchen is ready, Pesach, she's not going away to a hotel. She's home for Pesach. So as the whole Pesach, the whole kitchen is ready, kosher Pesach. She's going to, re-kosher again on Motzei Shabbos so that she can make a chametz stick of food for the kids for that Shabbos, for their last chance to eat chametz for that Shabbos. And something happened, and she ended up baking chametz in the same oven as Pesach, the food that she wants to save for Pesach. So, Lamaisa, again, this is one of those things that most women would not, they wouldn't even ask, they would just throw it out and burn the house down. No way. But Lahalacha, chametz Pesach is also b'mashu on Pesach. Before Pesach, it's not as b'mashu. So if you're going to pass it, that b'diavad Recha La Milsa, right? So it doesn't really ask it. And you're going to pass it, that Recha La Milsa hinges on Bittel. It's just when it's bread, you don't even have to worry about the Recha at all. But when it's not bread, it hinges on Bittel. So you're going to need a Bittel. So you're going to tell me about how it's Pesach and there's no Bittel. No, the Shaila just comes up before Pesach. So he says, it's not going to be Asar Mashu anyway. You're not going to have chametz in your oven on Pesach. The Shach wonders why the Rama is only machmir betanur gadol when Tosfos Nevel Dezar is machmir betanur gadol. The Shach answers that Tosfos holds Recha Milsa, so he's machmir even in large ovens. But since we pass the Recha Lav Milsa, you could be making in larger ovens. And then the Rama concludes, Ayin Kaman, Sosin Kukir Ches, Im Yesh Lahachmir Lechatila, Lishmos Beis Kederos Vechnechel Isser Al Akira, Olitzos Isser Eitzel Hetim. Essentially, that we're not worried about splattering from one to the other. That's relevant to cooking milk situations on the same stove top at the same time. And is there a problem with doing that? You only have four burners on the top, and you have one pot that's built to one pot that's placed at the same time.
Why do you ever need to open your oven?
No, it's a kashu, because Zaya, they're doing that Zaya also. No, you still need to kashu. Pesach is still ready. The Zayat, the food that you make is the get from the deals of the island. We'll stop here tomorrow. What's that? Regular schedule tomorrow?
Sunday schedule.
So should we do Sunday schedule? Should also? Yeah? Okay, Sunday schedule. Okay. See you tomorrow.